Here's a preview from today's episode.
And I'll ask him his advice all the time. Dad, what should I do? And I hear his voice all the time. A lot of times he says to me, just be cool, Stephen. Be cool. It'll all work out. Just be calm, be cool. Take it easy. That's a lot of him. Take it easy.
Hello, beautiful souls. You're listening to the Angels and Awakening podcast. I'm your host and author, Julie Jancis. Did you know that you can listen to this show everywhere podcasts are found? It's true. Now, I have three free gifts just for you. First gift, I give away a new reading each week to a person who's left a 5-star positive review of this show, then submitted it to me using the contact form at theangelmedium.com/contact. I hope I'm calling your number next. Second gift, if you'd like a new daily angel message, join me on Insta at Angel Podcast. Third free gift, if you'd like to know the name of one of your guardian angels so that you can work with them even more closely, go to the homepage of my website, theangelmedium.com, and submit your contact info at the very top. I'll email you back personally with the name of one of your angels. Okay, as we begin the show, I want you to feel the presence of your angels surrounding you. And just know that the loving, positive messages you resonate with today are messages for you from your angels and loved ones on the other side. Hello, beautiful souls. Welcome back to the Angels and Awakening podcast. I'm your host and author, Julie Jancis. And friends, today we have a special treat for you. You might remember him from Police Academy. I know I loved him in Three Men and a Baby. Steve Guttenberg has written a book, Time to Thank. Steve, thank you so much for the work you do in this world. I also love your Instagram account. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm really glad to be here, Julie. Thanks for having me on your show, and I'm looking forward to talking about my book and all the special things that are in your world.
Well, and your world too. I was looking at your Instagram account, and you just put out so much positivity. You have this love to share and these thoughts that come in, and every time I see you, you're just uplifting people and uplifting people, and I just thank you for that.
Thank you for even telling me that and looking at my Instagram. It started out when my dad was ill. And I'd be in the hospital a lot, and I just needed a few moments to come outside. So I'd chat with people having coffee, but when there weren't people around, I just picked up the phone and started to try to connect with people and ask them if they knew what it was like to be a caregiver. And a lot of people are. There are basically 53 million caregivers in our country. 53 million. That's a lot of people. It's a really solitary occupation. And when you do it, you're just alone with the person you're caring for. So I wanted to write a book that would connect with other caregivers so that they knew they weren't alone. And I'm really pleased that Post Hill was kind enough to publish my book.
That's amazing. So you have this quote in the book that basically says there's four different lines to it, but it basically says you're either a caregiver, you will be a caregiver, or you're going to need caring for. And so this talk today relates to everyone. I love the love that your family has. You come from a family where I don't think there's one bad thing that you said about the family, you know, in the entire book. It's just so much love and gratitude for your parents and who they were and how they raised you. You talk about, you know, how our parents are always caring for us, and you see your dad as being this strong and mighty man and always protecting you, and then you had to become his protector. What was it like originally at the beginning to step into that role of caregiver, and how did you make that transition?
It was something that I did not want to do. My dad was always the leader of my family, the strong one. He picked me up as a little boy. He put my pajamas on. He brought me into the shower. He drove me places. And I was the reluctant caregiver. I didn't want to take that role, because that meant that my dad wasn't that strong anymore. And it's a very, very hard place to get to, where you realize that your parents are aging and they need your help. So I started helping my dad stand up. I started putting his pajamas on. I started helping him in the shower. And I started driving him places. And for all the caregivers out there, they know what I'm talking about. It's a very, very difficult part of life to accept. But then you have to step up and say, you know what? This person really needs me. I love this person. There's a great quote that I heard from both pastors and rabbis. It says, don't walk a mile for someone who won't cross the street for you, but walk 10,000 miles in a hurricane for 1 minute with someone you love. And I think, and that's just what it's like to caregive for your parent that you love. I'd do anything for my mom and dad, anything.
Your dad was diagnosed with, well, he needed dialysis about 10 years before he passed. Is that right?
Yeah. He was diagnosed with kidney failure and it slowly came upon him. So about 5 years ago, it got to the point where his kidneys wouldn't work anymore. Our kidneys work 24 hours a day, but someone with renal failure, they work maybe 3 hours a day and then maybe less. And then you need to go on this wonderful machine called a dialysis machine, which actually keeps you alive and keeps your loved ones alive. And for about 3 or 4 hours, it takes a person's blood out of their body, chills it to 34 degrees, and cleans it of all the immunities, exactly what a kidney does. And then it deposits it back in their body. So, and it's a really hard process. And it's very hard on the body and hard on people who are having it done and hard on their families and friends. So you have to really give 100% of yourself, both as a person who's doing dialysis and a person who needs it.
Yeah. And I know that you made that trip every week to go see him as he was doing dialysis. And I thought there was this beautiful story, I hope you don't mind if I share it from the book, that just speaks to the testament of your relationship and your love between your father and you, where he was having an episode, like a medical episode, and you knew something was wrong with him. You knew he needed to get to the hospital, and you're trying to get him into the car. You're trying to get him to move, and he's this big guy. Like, you can't move him. So your mind switches and something within you goes, okay, if I say, I think I'm going to have a heart attack, Dad, I need to go to the hospital. We need to get in the car because I need to go. His entire demeanor just completely changed. And he was like, all right, let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just an incredible example of my dad being a parent. My dad saying, well, I don't want to go to the hospital because I don't want to go to the ER room. But if my son has to go, then we'll go. And that's the way I had to sort of trick him into coming to the hospital.
I want to talk a little bit about the way that your dad passed, because there's no easy way to lose anybody. But you all were lucky enough to be around him, surrounding him. And there's so many questions that I have for you, but I just wonder what you felt in that moment. If you felt his presence then as he was leaving, if you felt just the weight of him going, because it's interesting, you, your mom, and your sister are all right there and you all handle it so differently.
Yeah. Well, what happened was my mom was in the other room and my sister and I were picking my dad up. He was in a lazy boy chair. And we were picking him up to give him a little bit more comfort because he tended to slide down the chair. So before I picked him up, I noticed his breathing was very, very shallow. So my sister and I, we picked him up and put him down, and sister sort of turned away. And I put my ear to his mouth, and I didn't hear anything. And I said, Dad, Dad? And my sister said, what's the matter? I don't know. Dad, Dad? And we had a nurse there, and she came over and put her stethoscope to him and said, he's gone. And I said, no. And I I started doing CPR on him and said, Dad, come back. Dad, come back. Dad, come back. And my sister just started crying. And then my mother walked in the room and said, what's wrong? What's wrong? And I said, I just shook my head. She went, oh, no, Stanley. And my sister ran to get my wife. My wife came in. And I kept yelling at him, Dad, come back. Come back. I just didn't want to accept that he was gone. It took about 3 hours for the mortuary to come. And we all spent time with him. I've heard that the brain stays alive. So I'm sure you heard everything that was going on. For me, it was like a large hammer just hit me on the head. Really large. I mean, as big as a building. And I had a moment earlier that day with my sister where my sister said to my dad, Dad, you can go. You can go. It's all right. You can go. When she left, I said to my dad, don't go. Please, please, Dad, don't go. I just didn't want him to leave. It was very hard for me to accept that he was gone. You know, it's funny, when you break a leg or you have a cold, you get better. But when you die, there's no getting better. And so that moment was really hard for me.
And I just don't think that there's any way to prepare for those moments in life until they come. We can think about them, but until we're in that moment, we just don't know how our body's going to react, how our emotions are going to impact us. What struck me is right after that, you talked in the book about feeling his presence, about talking to him through what you call prayer. I believe that we can talk to our loved ones on the other side, and you hear back from him. He answers you. What does that sound like and feel like to you?
It's his voice. He's really healthy and strong, and he's his old self. And he's very wise, and he gives me advice, which way to go, what to say, what to do. And I'll ask him his advice all the time. Dad, what should I do? And I hear his voice all the time. A lot of times he says to me, just be cool, Stephen. Just be cool. It'll all work out. Just be calm, be cool. Take it easy. That's a lot of him. Take it easy.
I noticed that throughout like your entire life, he would really tell you that, like, be cool, be calm. Did that calm your anxiety just hearing from him? And does it still, like, from the other side?
Yeah. Yeah. All the time. You know, he just always had a way of whenever he was in the room, everything was okay. So he's in the room with me often and everything's okay.
When our loved ones cross over to the other side, I believe that they become part of our spirit team made up of God, universe, source, angels, loved ones. And I believe that they're always guiding us, not just with their words, but with signs as well, or sometimes these big aha moments or opportunities. Have you seen that as well? Something that happens or a sign and you're just like, oh, that's you, Dad.
All the time. His sign is white feathers. And all the time I find white feathers. All the time. And he's, especially at an important moment, I find a white feather. Yeah, my dad talks to me all the time. And I had a dream that I was sitting in the kitchen. Oh, my wife and my nephew were sitting in the kitchen. And I came down the hall. I sat in the kitchen and heard a noise. So I went back into the hallway and there was my dad, tan and wearing a certain shirt that I gave him, shorts, no shoes. And he was smiling. And I said, Dad, you're alive. Dad, can I hug you? And I remember him saying, yeah. And I thought I was going to hug him and it would be a ghost. Like I would just feel air. But I hugged him and I felt him. And then I said, Dad, can you come in and say hello to Danny and Emily? And he said, yeah. So he came in and he waved and then he walked out. That dream meant so much to me. It still means so much to me. And I heard that when those who pass come into your dream, it means they really miss you. They miss you. That's why they come back into your dream.
Friends, guess what? We're hosting two live in-person events, an in-person Angel Reiki School and an in-person spiritual retreat. The first event is the weekend of June 1st in Oak Brook, Illinois, where I'm teaching the Angel Reiki School. This is where you get certified in mediumship, angel messages, and energy healing all at once. For a limited time, when you register for the Angel Reiki School in person, you'll also get my 8-week online Angel Reiki School. Visit theangelmedium.com/get-certified for details. You'll also find that link in the show notes. It's theangelmedium.com/get-certified. The second live in-person event this year is a spiritual retreat, the weekend of October 4th in Oak Brook, Illinois. The spiritual retreat is different in that it's for your own personal growth. The spiritual retreat is all about your own personal healing, your journey, reconnecting with yourself, learning to connect with your angels. And I'm going to talk about all new angels that I've never talked about before anywhere. This spiritual retreat is going to leave you with more personal peace, purpose, clarity, and confidence than ever before. Learn more at theangelmedium.com/retreat. That's theangelmedium.com/retreat. So just to recap, we have the in-person spiritual retreat October 4th for your own personal healing and growth. And the in-person Angel Reiki School June 1st is where you become a medium, angel messenger, and energy healer all at once. Links to details are in the show notes. I can't wait to meet you and hug you in person. A 100%. I believe that. And I also believe that when we get memories of them throughout the day, like we're just going about our own business, going about our day. And then all of a sudden this memory just comes in, wham, and it hits you. And you weren't trying to think of it. I believe that that's them knocking at our door, trying to get us to tune into their presence.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're helping us and they're in that moment with us and they're taking the ride with us that day. I think those that are really close to you are with you all the time. They might be quiet, but they're with you all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. I think our soul is omnipresent on the other side, that you have the ability to be everywhere all at once. I also feel like on the other side, there's the ability to do everything that we have here and so much more. I feel like that's really important thing for you to know from your dad, that there's so much to the other side that we just don't even realize.
Of course there is. You know, we can't see the radio waves going through the air, but when you turn on your television or your radio, there it is, or the phone. I can't see the signal that's going out to you. But there's obviously a signal. So that's the same thing with heaven and death, different times. You know, there's, I guess, 10 time zones in the world or something like that. There's probably 10 time zones in heaven. So, or more.
Yeah, or more. One of the things that I see often is that when we're really close to a parent, we got a lot of safety, security from that parent, or even when both parents pass, it feels energetically to me like you're on a tightrope. And when your parents are here or that parent that protects you, you feel this safety net underneath, and that if you fall, you're going to be caught. But then there's this energy of when that parent is on the other side, feeling like the safety net isn't there for a while. And I think that might be part of the grief process of how do we be here without them? How did you move through that grief and get to a place where you could breathe again?
Well, grief has its own way with you, you know, and it comes and goes. And at the beginning, it's very, very omnipresent. And then as the days go by, it starts to weaken, but it's always there. You know, that melancholy is always there. I saw this podcast with Stephen Colbert and Anderson Cooper, and Stephen Colbert described it as, you know, when you love someone, they're in your life, they give you all this love. And it's like food, it's like nourishment. And then when they die, you don't feel that love, and you start to starve. You start to starve from that nourishment. That nourishment that's not there anymore. And I think that's what it feels like to me. It feels like that love was always there, phone call. It's difficult to not have that love. So when you think about it, like I'm thinking about it now, it gets me a little, you know, emotional, because that physical love, that on the telephone love, is very powerful. So I would always say to everybody, if you love someone, you think about them during the day, give them a 2-minute phone call. Hi, I just want to tell you, I'm thinking about you. I love you. That's good stuff.
And that's how your Instagram account started, is you were giving people a call while you were caregiving. And when you get those insights, what does it feel like to you? What does your intuition feel like to you? How do you know it's something that you just, like a big aha moment you want to share?
Yeah, I'll get those moments like, maybe I'm having it now where I go, it's okay to have memories. And it's okay to feel those memories. Of course, you can't feel them all day because you've got to do your daily duties. But when you have those memories, maybe take them in, accept them, and enjoy the sweetness of those memories, and then move on and go, okay, we're done. Okay, now we go. And I'm talking about memories of those who passed or things like that.
And I'm wondering too, your mom, your sister, and you are all so close as well. Does your mom and your sister, do they get different signs than you do, or do they get white feathers as well?
I have two sisters. My sister Judy in Jersey, I don't think she's told me that Dad has visited her. Susan actually felt him in the kitchen the other day and felt him sort of bump her a little bit. And my mom says she hasn't felt anything yet. But we had a little dog. My mom and my sister, my brother-in-law, had a little dog. And my dad loved this little dog. And when my dad passed, this little dog would spend more time with my mom, go into the room and sit there and wait for her to get out of the shower and bark a little bit for her to come into the kitchen. So we have always thought that this little dog, and the little doggy just passed away a couple of days ago. But we always thought this little dog, Rudy, was my dad, because he would really watch over mom.
I love that. And that breaks my heart when you say your mom hasn't felt him, because I feel his presence around her so much. And I really feel like she was the love of his life, and that he is just so incredibly close to her. As I was looking at the photos within your book, I kept feeling that. I think grief can just be so immense sometimes, and the weight of it is just so thick that we need that to clear a little bit before we can feel their presence a little bit more. And the other thing, this is your dad bringing this through, I hope you don't mind. I was really close to my grandparents, and my grandfather passed of cancer 10, 12 years before my grandmother. And she was just so angry at him. Like, the love between them was so deep and so real and so true. But there was a part of her that was just so mad at him for going. And it resonated with me when I was reading your book. I was like, oh my God, Steve's dad is so much like my grandfather. Because the one thing that I can say about my grandpa is he didn't want to go. Like, that was the one thing I was sure of, is my God, he just wanted to be here. But sometimes, you just can't understand why you're feeling the way you feel, but your feelings are so real and they're just so valid. And sometimes they keep our loved ones at bay as well.
Sometimes even when you don't want to smile, you got to smile. Then you got to laugh and say, okay, that's the way it is right now. Okay. And Dad, you went. And it's the first time in my life, actually, that I ever, I just want to make sure, time-wise, I think of it. It's the first time in my life that I'm not concerned about me dying, because I know I'll see my dad again. It's the first time I've ever felt that. I used to say, oh, I'm never going to die. No, don't ever want to die. And I don't ever want to die, but I do know that I'll see my dad. So,
100%. Steve, your book, Time to Thank. Oh my goodness. I just even love that title, Time to Thank. We're going to list it below in the show notes, everywhere people can find it and purchase your book. Yeah. Where can people find you too, if they wanted to connect?
Oh, they can get me on Instagram, Steve Gutenberg. And also they can go to timetothankbook.com, and they've got books and they've got signed books, and we can individually sign them. I can individually sign them to people. And go to Amazon, and please go to Amazon and pre-order it and order it from Amazon, because that's the best place to get it too. Thank you. Please go to Amazon.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Steve, for being here. And thank you for your time and this wonderful work that you're putting out into the world.
Thanks, Julia. I appreciate it. It was so nice to talk to you. You're a lovely person. There's such great warmth and love in you. You've changed my day. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Friends, I need your help reaching as many people as possible. If you'd like to support this podcast and help us spread more hope to the world, please book a session with me, join my angel membership, or take my angel Reiki school. What's the difference? If you'd like to know what messages your angels and loved ones have for you, you'll want to book a session with me. The angel membership is all about your own personal spiritual healing. The membership takes you on a spiritual journey that teaches you how to create your own heaven on earth. And the Angel Reiki School is for those who want to get certified in mediumship, angel messages, and energy healing all at once. These are three ways you can support us so that we can reach more people with a message of hope and love. These are three ways you can help us share a message of hope and love with more people than ever before. Register for one or all three at theangelmedium.com. That's theangelmedium.com. Now, let's pray together. As we do, I want you to pray in a way where you feel as though everything you want for yourself and the world has already come true. And you're giving thanks. Why? Because this is the best way to manifest. So let's begin. God, Universe, Source, thank you. We're so grateful that you've blessed this world with calm and peace for all. This calm and peace has spread like ripples, soothing the hearts of every soul. Thank you for opening our hearts to abundance, allowing each of us to live our most authentic life, and helping us to create our own heaven on earth. We thank you for the love and deep heart-to-heart connection that surrounds us every day in our relationships. We thank you for the abundance of health and aliveness we feel radiating from every cell in our and our families' bodies. Thank you for the gift of walking this life with us and guiding us every step of the way through your messages. We hear you through our own intuition, and we feel you walking right by our sides, and we overflow with gratitude. Thank you for financial abundance and abundance of opportunities and miracles, blessings and prosperity in every way. We know that you want us to succeed so that we can show others how you want them to succeed too. Thank you for the boundless love, kindness, empathy, and compassion that binds us all together. Thank you for the laughter, fun, moments of pure delight that fill us every day, especially today. God, Universe, Source, thank you for blessing us beyond measure and allowing us to use our souls, gifts, talents, skills, and abilities to serve the world. We love you. I love you. And in this we pray. Amen. Friends, we're working on some pretty major things over here. And if you wouldn't mind saying a little prayer that these things come to fruition if they're God's will, we'd so appreciate it. And please add a little prayer in for any specific thing you need right now, too. Have a beautiful, blessed day. And don't forget to submit your contact info at theangelmedium.com if you'd like me to channel the name of one of your angels for you. Sending you peace, bliss, and many blessings.